It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here sitting in for Shopin' the Bulldog. And on the Western Hotline, we go to our own Sal Capaccio. And Sal, yeah, did you see this Teddy Bridgewater stuff? Like, the guy's just doing side quests out here.
It's incredible. I mean, I don't know if, I didn't see, like, video. You mean just the story, right?
Yeah,
it's incredible. I mean, he went and he became the head coach of his alma mater, Miami Northwest, right? And they won the state title. And he's like, yeah, I'm done here. Let's go back to the NFL. I did what I had to do. It's crazy. It's great. Good for him, man. I love it.
I've really been enjoying, though, like some of these like players I grew up watching or what have you, like all of a sudden like getting into coaching. Like Michael Vick's going to Norfolk State. I thought Bridgewater would be following in that line. And instead, he's like, nah, I still got a year or two left in me. I can still do this. Like, good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Should be pretty. We'll see what happens, though. I don't know. What the reasoning is for the Lions to want to go down that road. You know what I mean? It's interesting. It's an interesting story. And hey, if the Lions were to get to the Super Bowl, get a ring or something like that, and Teddy gets a ring for that, then good for him, I guess.
What an absurd year! All right, Sal. The Bills, though, were back on the practice field today. Was it essentially a walkthrough? Was it full go for them?
No, it was a full practice. They did a full practice today. They didn't have pads on from what I saw, but it was not a walkthrough. So yeah, they were back on the practice field today, and good news, on the injury front, Matt Milano moves from a limited participant to a full participant. No one was downgraded, other guys who were limited were still limited. That includes all three safeties who, by the way, were in a red non-contact jersey, all of them. Safety DeMar Hamlin, safety Cam Lewis, safety Taylor Rapp, also wide receiver Curtis Samuel. The only other notable item was Tylon Grable, the offensive lineman, was excused for personal reasons. He did not practice today.
And Sal, this kind of goes to a conversation we were having just a few hours ago on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kind of where does the puzzle pieces fit now with how many guys, particularly at the safety position, but to a large extent the secondary, how is that all going to fit now? Because you look at some of these past injury reports for the Bills, how they've been playing it this year. If a guy's limited for 2-3 days, it really does leave you questioning if he's going to play on Sunday.
For sure. I think, judging by what Josh Allen said today and judging by, I think, the way the team has approached what their goals are, they want to win Sunday to secure the 2 seed. Like, this is not this game doesn't matter. This game matters to them. They want to win. That being said, I don't expect them to say, yeah, we're just resting people. That being said, they have to have the bigger picture in mind. And if the guys are very close, they might err on the side of caution again, just like they might have the last couple of weeks, and say, we're going to hold this guy back or hold that guy back. So I'm interested to see how they go here. We don't know. I mean, that's just something that remains to be seen from now until Sunday. I think the thing you can rule out, though, is them just, sitting a mass amount of players. That's not going to happen this week. I'd be stunned. They're going to play, and they want to get the 2 seed, and that was indicated by Josh today. So, I think that is the case. But we'll see if they have any of these guys who are limited right now, especially the DBs. Obviously, there's 3 of them, and then Curtis Samuel, who they say, all right, we're just not going to play that person in this game to make sure. And then if that's the case, that person probably wouldn't play next week either, right? Week 18. I think it would be, as long as you win this game, you secure it. If you lose this game, you have to win next week. It becomes a little different story.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline here. Sal, when it comes to other notable injury news from this practice, I would say, the most uplifting one being Matt Milano going from limited to full, but also based on the questions that were given to head coach Sean McDermott about him and Dorian Williams, what do you see going on there with the linebackers and if there might be more of a rotation between Milano and Williams if both are healthy?
It's really interesting, right? I was a little kind of, surprised. I guess I was a little surprised by Sean's response, the way it was phrased. Matt Parrino asked him the question last week about Matt Milano, and it was on Monday this week, and he said, Like, how do you determine, if Matt should be playing, if Dorian's clearly still, ahead of him, let's say, and whatever, however Matt phrased it. The bottom line is, what surprised me was, it seemed like Sean was saying that they might have to just go with Dorian because maybe Matt's not fully back, because what he said was, Matt is a team player, he'll respect whatever decision we make. He also did say Matt will get every opportunity to get back, which is kind of saying he's not there yet, which I think we all see. But to me, the plan was always just keep playing him, and then we're planning him being ready to go, rock and roll, and close to full Matt Milano by playoffs. But maybe there's a hint of, we're not sure if that's going to happen, guys. So we really have to be ready to play Dorian Williams instead. I think this is going to be interesting. Now, I think what becomes even more interesting is, Matt is 30 years old. He's come off a couple of these injuries. I mean, we know he takes care of his body, and he's a heck of a football player, no doubt about that. But if there's ever a guy that you think, okay, maybe this guy could rest, he would be one of those guys. But in this case, I don't know if you could do that, because you're trying to get him reps, right? You're trying to get him reps to get ready for the playoffs. So I think for him specifically, it becomes a bit of a kind of, what do we do here? It's a little back and forth of how you want to handle this.
Yeah, a bit of a crossroads there when it comes to Williams and how you want to handle Milano. Because like you said, he has injury history. He's 30 years old. He's a guy you'd want to be preferring to get rest, but he needs more reps right now, because once he came into the lineup, it was more than a year's time since he had taken a snap.
Yeah, I mean, Matt's an all-pro player, and his first year, was it his first year's rookie year, maybe second year, he broke his leg late in the year, right? And nothing you could do there. And then, he had a couple soft tissue injuries throughout his career a little bit, and then, of course, what happened last year with the leg, and it's a leg break, it's a pretty bad leg break in London, and then this year he comes back, and he's ready to rock and roll, and he has the biceps injury. So, it's just been tough for him to get back out there. And as everyone will tell you, you can't replicate, game situations and game speed. We know Matt is a professional and he takes care of his body. But, I think this isn't like we're in week 8 here and you have time. You kind of have to be ready to, you have to know who is ready to go at their full speed to help you the most once the playoffs come. Now, is there a world where they could both help? I think there is. I think there's a scenario where maybe Dorian Williams is your early down linebacker and Matt Milano is your third down linebacker. I think there's a scenario where you could have both of them ready to go, and if you think one is just a better matchup, how about if you're playing the Ravens and playing base defense? Maybe that's something, because you actually have guys now. I mean, that's a nice base defense. Now, granted, it's at the expense of Taron Johnson off the field, which I hate. But if you're going against the Ravens and you say, you know what, we can still cover tight ends because Matt Milano will be out there, and we can stop Derrick Henry possibly because we have three linebackers, maybe that's something you have to think about as well.
Sal, sticking with the injuries here, but to the offensive side of things, I want to bring up Curtis Samuel. He's been limited both days, and it appears to be a rib injury for him. It felt like, not that long ago, I'd say the Indy game and the KC game, it felt like, okay, this is the guy they spent, however much money on, a three-year deal. It felt like it was really coming along, and now we're sort of back to what we were at the beginning of the year. I'd almost want to ask, what have you seen from him this year? But to a part of it feels like the stat sheet is kind of telling a story here, plus all the injuries he's been dealing with.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know why it hasn't hit like that. And I think that, to me, what's really probably happened here more than anything is early in the, late in the preseason camp, he had the turf toe injury. And it just, he never was able to get kind of up to speed with the offense and Josh Allen, everybody, as quickly as hoped. And maybe that bothered him for quite a while, not really sure. But then once you start losing time, he's a new offense, right? Not necessarily new with, Joe Brady, but, as much as you want to be out there to say, okay, he'll understand everything and understand the concept, I think there is something to that, chemistry and hitting, and it just never worked. But it just seems like also on top of that, he'd be banged up and have different injuries throughout the year. And he was on the injury report with the foot a couple of times. Now he's on the injury report with the ribs. So I think it was shoulder a couple of weeks ago. He had left the game with a shoulder injury against Detroit. That was a tough one. Listen, when they signed him, I've always been a big Curtis Samuel fan. I really thought that he would have a really nice season. I mean, going into the year, I thought maybe he could be the guy that could wind up leading the team in touches from a wide receiver spot, knowing what they wanted to do with him overall and how they wanted to get him the ball. It just hasn't materialized. Now, maybe he doesn't play this week, and then he rests week 18, and hey, who knows? All of a sudden, you get to the playoffs, you're like, hey, there's Curtis Samuel showing up. That would be a really good scenario right there. But I don't know if you can bank on that now, guys, just based on what we've seen or haven't seen this year and what hasn't happened.
Another receiver too, Amari Cooper, Sal. His kind of emergence or even just kind of matriculation into the team has kind of been like under the radar just because the Bills kept scoring. But his, it's not injury-based, but his kind of like, I guess, materialization into this Bills offense has also kind of been weird as well.
Yeah, it's like feast or famine with him, right? Sometimes it seemed like a couple games, like, okay, yeah, they're going at Amari Cooper. I think it was the Kansas City game, early in the game, he had that catch down the sidelines, right? I mean, and helped out. And then all of a sudden, there's like no targets or two targets or whatever. And I think the good news is, even with Amari Cooper not having targets and they're scoring 30 points, that's happened. And then you also know that Amari Cooper can make fantastic catches to help your team. So, you know, we'll see exactly, you know, where it goes with him. I have a feeling like last game, if you look at the way the Patriots played this team, they played a little bit more man-to-man, I think, than the Bills were used to and didn't expect from them. And I think in a normal game plan, like normal critical game situation, you probably turn to Amari Cooper a little bit more there. But I don't know if the Bills wanted to do that, because I wonder if they were just kind of holding some stuff back. They didn't want to put some stuff on film on what their man-beating concepts might be for teams that are going to face them that way in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm choosing to take what Allen said in the postgame kind of at face value.
Right.
Just like, we don't want to show everything. But Sal, let's get to the Jets. I'm thrilled. This game's at 1 o'clock. It was not flexed. I was not scared it was going to be, but there was a lingering part of my thought process that was, we're not going to play another 1 o'clock game ever again. There's a storyline I do want to get to in this game, but what are their injury reports looking like? Because I know Rodgers, there was initially thought he wasn't going to play or have a chance to not play this week.
Yeah, he's going to play. Aaron Rodgers is going to play. He was a full participant for a second day in a row, but he is dealing with an MCL injury. That's out of his own words. He has an MCL injury. He's going to play, so I guess that would make him even a little bit less mobile, and he hasn't really been that mobile this year. But he's going to play in this game. And now, I do wonder. I don't know if we're going to see Sauce Gardner. He has now missed two straight days with a hamstring injury after leaving last game with a hamstring injury. Also today, Davante Adams didn't practice for a second straight day. So you got Davante Adams and Sauce Gardner both missing. Now, apparently, from what I read early today, it looked like Davante was going to practice based on the fact that some of the Jets reporters said, oh, he's out here, but he's listed as a non-participant. So even though he's out there, he didn't practice. So you got Davante Adams who didn't practice two straight days. Sauce Gardner who didn't practice two straight days. Morgan Moses in the same boat. He's an offensive lineman. And Elijah Vera Tucker. So, they have some really key injuries there for the Jets. Michael Carter, their cornerback, did come back to a limited participant after being a non-participant yesterday.
Sal, looking at the Jets, and of course, like everyone knows the disaster of a season that they've had, but it is even more shocking that they sit at 4-11, and yet they might be picking 10th overall in this draft if things fall basically as they continue to do here. Have you ever seen a season like this where like a team with a 4-11 record, possibly flirting with 4-12, might be picking as low as 9th or 10th?
No, it's really funny, right? I was looking at this the other day where it's, you know, the NFL prides itself on parity, right? I mean, that's what the whole league is like, oh, about parity. And we love to have all these teams. You know, there's a saying, somebody, I think maybe Colin Coward or something said this, so I don't want to steal it, but it's true. Like, everybody in the league kind of starts 8-8. And then if you have an elite quarterback, you get 10 wins. If you get that with a coach, you might be 11 wins, and then some bounces, you can get to 12. If you don't have a really good quarterback, you're probably a 6-win team. And then if your coach stinks, you're down to 5, right? So I think that, like, you start at that premise. Everybody should be within, like, honestly, between 6 and 11 wins, let's say. This year, holy cow, guys, you have how many? 10 teams with 5 or less wins, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams already with 11 wins still with 2 games left to play with in most cases, right? I mean, it just seems like there's not much parity. You go to the 7-8 or 8-7 teams, there's a handful of them. But it just seems like everybody is either have or haves not. There's a wide gap. I think you can even look at that and say, that's why, if you take a look at it, almost all the playoff seeds are like spoken for already. Like, not truly, right? Mathematically, there's still some things to be decided. But don't we kind of already pretty much know it's going to be Chargers and Broncos unless one of them really blows it over the last couple weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And you have all seven, with 2 weeks to go, you have all seven spots almost decided in both conferences, by the way. Yes, you still have to determine like who's going to win one of the divisions maybe in the NFC or the other two divisions, but we have 2 weeks left. How about week 18? They have to decide what game's going to be Sunday night. It's like, I don't know, man. Everybody's kind of spoken for here, you know? And I think it's really interesting. So getting to the Jets there, I haven't seen that. The other thing is, listen, if you asked almost any Jets fan who's been a Jets fan for a long time, they'll tell you that it's just been a lifelong of, you know, disappointment because most probably weren't alive when they won the Super Bowl, you know, back with Joe Namath. However, the other thing they would tell you is, even despite that, this might be the most disappointing season in their lifetime. And I would say that because they had such high expectations with Aaron Rodgers, and he stayed healthy. He has played the whole year, and here they are 4-11.
Yeah, and their season just, it's been a myriad of issues, internal stuff. I mean, now Garrett Wilson's kind of coming out, and he's a little frustrated.
Yes.
Sal, I think as well, and this is the thing I wanted to touch on specifically with Rodgers, I am thrilled he's playing. In a season that you could argue might be one of the most disappointing in recent Jets memory, there's a really good chance Rodgers is going to throw his 500th career touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. In a season where I think a lot of Jets fans assumed there'd be a lot of celebrations, that would have been one of those games too where you can celebrate. You've got this guy on your team, and instead it's going to be one of those celebrations where it's going to be continued frustration of we got this guy too late. And, you know, our team is bad, or our team continues to be who they were. I mean, a few weeks ago, we're hearing about Woody Johnson taking a lot of his P's and Q's from his teenage sons who play Madden.
It's
a tough spot to be in.
That story just kind of summed up a lot of what the Jets have been about, you know, in Woody Johnson's tenure as the owner for a long time. And do you guys think it's weird to think about, like, the best seasons the Jets had were under Rex Ryan?
I love it so much.
Right? I mean, you could go back to, I guess, you know, Bill Parcells did a nice job. I think they got to the AFC title game with Bill Parcells, actually, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But Rex Ryan went to back-to-back AFC title games with this team.
With Sanchez as his quarterback.
Yes.
They basically didn't play home playoff games, and they're just going to back-to-back AFC championship games.
Yeah. I mean, they have the longest, you know, playoff drought. Here's the other thing. I was looking at this the other day, too. The Broncos haven't done it yet, but the minute the Broncos actually clinch, the Jets' playoff drought will be double the next closest team's playoff drought in the NFL.
Whoo! As a Sabres fan, I'm happy to hear that.
Man, I mean, that is tough, too. I mean, like, and that's, you know, funny thing. Like, we're looking at, like, two almost historical playoff droughts here. Like, once the Broncos clinch, it'll be the Jets and kind of everybody else. And then in the NHL, the Sabres are in the middle of a historic drought. Yeah, for a league, a lot of parity too, Sally. There can be times where it's like, nah, not really. Like, you have different playoff teams, sure, but championships can be
very
close
like
to
this.
The same. Yeah, very rarely.
Yeah, and if you're a Jets fan, you know, you're thinking the future. You have a GM and a head coach you have to hire. And, I mean, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, there's only 32 NFL head coaching jobs in the world. There's only 32 NFL GM jobs in the world. So when people say to me, oh, who would take that job? I always like to point that out. But guys, like, that really is one of those jobs where, holy cow, like, if you're a really good candidate, you might just want to say, I just can't do that. Like, that might be really bad for my career and not take that job. You know, if you're Ben Johnson, why would you take the Jets job? You're going to be in such demand around the league for head coaching jobs. Like, you could go to Chicago or, I don't know, what if the Giants are going to come up, and I don't know, the Giants might be a mess, but they're way more stable generally than the Jets, right? Like, it's just, I don't know what they're going to do. If you're a Jets fan, you're thinking about how all that's going to happen. And then what do you pick a quarterback? Does Rodgers come back? What happens? I don't know. Their future, their immediate future is so messy. It's even kind of, it makes it even harder to comprehend, you know, what's going on there.
Yeah, Sal, like, not to mention with everything that is a mess with that organization, like you mentioned, Ben Johnson kind of helped create a little bit of that trend. If you are a high demand coordinator, you are someone that teams are going to keep looking at right now. There, and if you're in a good position, in a good situation, there might be more of this trend of, like, the high caliber candidates are probably going to want to take their time and assess for better situations and better landing spots. And the Jets are in this no man's land of, you need a new head coach, you need a new GM, you probably are going to get a new quarterback too. And it's in a draft class where if I'm looking at the person right across from me and Zach, he's going to tell me it's shaky.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, I agree. From all indications, that's the case. I mean, listen, we're all looking at Shutter Sanders is very well going to be the number one pick, maybe the number two pick. But, you know, I mean, there's, and I'm not really that sold on him. I think he could very well be great. I have no idea. I love the fact that he might be. I like, you know, Dion and all that, the excitement. But, you know, that's, I think, a risky play, even though he is consensus to a lot of people, you know, the number one quarterback coming out. I'm not saying he necessarily is. You could debate that. But you guys know he's going to be a high first round pick, and he might be the number one pick. But that's the whole point I'm making, which is this isn't like a Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels year. You know what I mean? I mean, this is one where if you need a quarterback, it's probably not the year really to be picking where these guys are picking.
And that's
Sam
where
Darnold, baby.
And that's where that ninth overall, yeah, where they currently sit really is a problem. Because last year, by ninth overall, what was it, four quarterbacks taken? So you're already looking at the fourth best, even in a loaded class. So they're in a really, really weird spot. And of course, this is the year where there are so many teams that are somehow worse than you, even when you've bottomed out. So well,
That's okay. Let's go. I have the Jets at 8, by the way, according to Tankathon. But either way, I have them at 8th right now. So let's just say who needs a quarterback ahead of them. Let's go in order. Giants, yes, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, no. Jaguars, no. Titans, I think they might now, right?
They might.
They've kind of gone away. They've kind of said Will Levis isn't our guy in their own way, right? Browns? I don't think so.
I know Joe's kind of locked in on the idea that they're going to keep watching.
Raiders for sure.
Yeah.
That's three at least. Panthers, no. So that's three at least right there. But that now, what if teams want to jump you up? What if New Orleans wants to jump up, right? What if what if another team wants to jump up? I mean, yeah. So you're probably looking at three ahead of you that want a quarterback. You're getting at best the third, maybe the fourth or fifth.
Yeah. What if Dallas wants to jump up there and get Sanders?
Speaking of Dallas, by the way, did you see the breaking news? CeeDee Lamb has been shut down for the year. If you have him in your fantasy league,
that's
your championship,
tough.
He is not playing.
And he's been one of the more consistent receivers in football, even with the change of quarterback from Dak being injured to Cooper Rush. Yeah.
Sal, one more for you on this with the division and everything like that, because you know the Bills, they play the Jets to wrap up that series, and then they play the Patriots again. I said this on Sunday. I'm starting to think New England might be the team, if they get things in order with the coaching ranks there, they might be the next closest threat to Buffalo within these next couple of years, because Miami might even need to hit a reset button of sorts.
Yeah, Miami's interesting, right? Look, I think of all the teams in the East outside of the Bills, I think I'd rather be the Patriots right now going into the immediate future. They have the quarterback. I like him. He looks good. We'll see what happens. I think he looks like a good young quarterback, mobile, smart. You know, everything we saw last week looks really good. They haven't surrounded him great. The only question about them is, do they have the right coach? And I think that's a legitimate question. But guys, they also have the most cap space in the league, like by a lot. And they can go out there and they can spend some money. Now, how they do it, I'm not really sure. Like, is all that going to work out for them? But the Jets we just talked about. And then Miami, interesting. Obviously, you like having Tua. If he can stay healthy, he's a really good quarterback. But yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill, he's getting older, and they have a big salary cap number. Are they going to move on from him? I don't know. They have a lot of guys that have to decide on that. Who am I thinking of? Jalen Ramsey on defense. You know, guys like that. They have guys come back from injury that we still don't know. Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. And then these guys are making a lot of money. So I agree with you. Could be a bit of a reset there. They're still more stable than the Jets. But I think, the prospect of the Patriots. I would say this, too. All that being said, I think it points to when we get to the offseason, regardless of how this season ends, we're feeling way, way better about the Bills' position going into next year than I think anybody felt about them going into this year.
Yep, 100%. All right, Sal, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We'll be listening tomorrow morning from 10 to 12 for the Extra Point Show.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Poncho there on the West Her Hotline. Bills head coach Sean McDermott also going to join Sal tomorrow morning. Yeah, the Jets thing. I saw that right before Sal came on, the 500 touchdown passes in a brutal year. I mean, isn't that just kind of another just painful
It's another
reminder?
Middle finger.
Yeah, yeah. Of just like, yep, and it didn't go well for you.
Yeah, it's like, and where did that get you? You got one more milestone.
It's
there's the bird.
I don't feel bad for Jets fans, but there is something that is deeply hysterical that their last really successful run was Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez.
Good Lord.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer sitting in here for Shope and the Bulldog. Coming up in about a half hour, Ross Tucker will join the show. We'll get more on the NFL, Bills' upcoming game against the Jets, and plenty more when he jumps on with us. This is WGR.